Current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. It isn't shocking to hear that many college students are sexually active. What might come as a surprise is the attitude many of today's students are bringing to their sexual lives. Current state Scott Pohl is here with more. So what's different these days, Scott?
Well, Mark, what's changed is that what people tend to think of as the preferred order of things, getting to know someone well and for a long time before sex, maybe even marriage before sex, seems to be shifting. For some now, the sex comes first and on a casual basis. I talked with Stephanie Amata about her research into this topic. She's an assistant professor of writing, rhetoric, and American cultures at MSU and author of Hooking Up, A Sexy Encounter with Choice. Listeners should know that while our talk acknowledges that sex happens, it isn't graphic. Still, it could be sensitive material for some listeners, especially if kids are around. Stephanie Amata says the phrase hooking up has taken on an entirely new meaning for college students.
For example, I was at a conference recently and several times people said to me, hey, let's hook up later. And of course they meant, let's meet up later. Let's grab a coffee. Let's talk more. And college students don't use the word that way at all. So it can mean a lot of different things, but for the college student generation, it always means something sexual, and it pretty much always means something casual. So you said like a one-night stand, for example, that would be, you know, what they mean by a hookup. And I have asked them, so, you know, do you say you hook up if it's somebody in your relationship with? And they say no. So in terms of hookup culture, we add that word to the phrase, they get to know each other by hooking up. If they're interested in somebody, they don't go out on a date. They hook up. And then if they like that, then they might talk to that person. And then a date is very serious. So that happens way down the road.
Sort of the opposite of what their parents went through.
Correct. Correct.
And it would shock and anger maybe their parents to hear that they're approaching life that way.
Perhaps. Yeah, definitely. It's flipping it around. That's exactly what it's doing. And I do think that many parents are not aware that that is what's happening.
So under those circumstances, what are the major ways? There are obvious major ways that this can go wrong for people. But I assume that's why you're interested in this topic in the first place, is the ways that these sorts of arrangements can go wrong for people. What are some of them?
As a woman who has mostly female students, I got very interested in how this is impacting young women. However, it does impact the young men as well. But I think there are many ways it can go wrong for young women. And one question I like to ask them is, you know, why are you hooking up? And my aim with that is to get them really thinking about this, because it may not be something that they have questioned before. And I do think sometimes that women will be hooking up because they're looking for that validation of their worth. So often as women, we are taught that it's important that we be desirable to men, that we be sexy. And so having a man interested then can give a woman that sense of validation. And I think that's a way that this can go very wrong, because if a woman is looking outside herself for that validation, and she might feel it for the moment that she's getting that male attention, what happens is the next day when it's gone is she often feels worse. Another way it can go wrong is what's known as friends with benefits. And I think most people are familiar with what that term is, but sometimes students will find a regular hookup buddy and they'll call that a friends with benefits. And often somebody develops stronger feelings. It's not always the woman, but one person will often develop stronger feelings and will want to keep hooking up because they don't want to lose that person. But then they're in this constant agony of, I want more from this person, I'm not getting it. And they're often afraid to say anything because they don't want that person to go away. They don't want it to end.
We're talking with Stephanie Amata, author of Hooking Up, A Sexy Encounter with Choice. Stephanie is also an assistant professor in MSU's Department of Writing, Rhetoric, and American Cultures. For people who haven't read the book, I want to make it clear that after hearing what you've just said, that the book is not judgmental in any way. You take a very non-judgmental approach to writing about these topics. And so I wanted to ask you if there are circumstances under which you would say for some people it's okay to be involved in hooking up with others. You point out that it's perfectly fine and normal not to hook up too. So let's cover some of that. What are some of the circumstances where people find that their version of hookup culture is working for them?
Yeah, there are situations in which hooking up might be a preferable choice for people. So one example is some students feel that a relationship takes too much energy, too much time, too much commitment when they really want to be focused on their studies. They don't want a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And so they may choose to engage in more casual encounters and hook up. And actually, studies show that most students are not going out and hooking up every weekend. So even the students who are hooking up, it might be something that happens once or twice a year. It could be more than that. But on average, it's not happening every weekend or every weekend night or every night. But for some students, that is a choice because, you know, they don't want to put that effort and energy into having a longer-term commitment. For some students, they may know that when they graduate, they're going to continue on with more schooling or they're going to move somewhere far away. And so for those reasons, too, they may choose not to get involved in something that has a longer-term commitment to somebody.
And for students who choose not to hook up, maybe some students who are even still virgins, what's your message to them?
That's okay, too. In a lot of ways, that's what started my thinking around all of this is I did have two different students come up to me within about a two-week time period and sort of whisper to me, I'm still a virgin. And I thought, when did this become a shameful secret for a first-year college student? And that was a big part of what got me interested in writing about this for college women and sort of helping them see that, yes, that's okay. They're feeling a lot of peer pressure that isn't okay. And that was a shock to me because when I was in college, being a virgin was certainly all right.
The thing to do in a lot of people's minds.
Yes.
And
exactly.
Still is.
Yes.
For a lot of people.
For some people, it still is.
Your book seems to be obviously geared mostly towards young women. What's your message to young men? And do you think young men should read your book?
I have heard from some of the young men who have read it that they have liked it and they have gotten something out of it. And I've had a lot of people say to me, this message is very important for young men too. You should be speaking. I do some speaking to women and that I should also be speaking to men. I'm actually in the process of working on a version of the book for college men. I'm co-writing that with a college student here at MSU. He's a senior in our professional writing program. And so we've been working on that. And the message for men is very much the same. Also, they have a choice. I think the pressure to be sexually active is stronger for men and has been around a lot longer for men. And so it's easy to just kind of ignore that because we tend to think that that's just how it is. But for many young men, that's also a pressure that's uncomfortable. There are young men who also might choose to not want to be involved in casual sexual situations, and they can sometimes feel a lot of peer pressure about that.
What's your message to parents?
My message to parents would be to talk to your children, even if those children are college students, or maybe especially if those children are college students. A lot of my personal motivation behind this work is that I was not able to have those conversations with my parents. And I really needed that. I needed that support from the adults in my life. I remembered, once I started having these conversations with students, I thought back to when I was in college, and I remembered how confused I felt. These felt like very big decisions at that age. And my peers were not able to give me the support and information that I needed to really make those decisions from a good place. And I think that was unfortunate. So parents, please talk to your children and create a safe space for them to be able to talk to you so that they will.
We're talking with Stephanie Amata, the author of Hooking Up, A Sexy Encounter with Choice. I wanted to ask you how much you think your message applies to the LGBT community on campus.
That's a great question. I my book is written in a way that's very much targeting an audience of young women who are heterosexual. And I did that because that's the research I was reading. That is most of the research I was doing in terms of talking with students. And that's the arena I know more about. I would hope that because the message really is universal, that anybody in the LGBT community could read the book and change pronouns and things like that as needed to get the same message. There is definitely a hookup culture in that community as well. And that is something that down the road I may look more into.
Stephanie Amata is an assistant professor in the MSU Department of Writing, Rhetoric, and American Cultures and author of Hooking Up, A Sexy Encounter with Choice. Stephanie Amata, thank you.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.